Welcome back to the Fantasy Funkhouse. We got a great show lined up for you this week. Very special guest in the house, returning favorite, Crazy Legs Johnson. Chris, thanks for jumping in the studio with us tonight.
Hey, thanks for calling me a favorite.
You're always a favorite here. And as always, my co-host, Mr. Chains. Jerry, how's it going tonight?
Doing good. Another wild week. Very tough one. We'll get into it. A lot to talk about.
Yeah, then obviously we're going to get into it. The injuries keep piling up. It's the worst I've ever had pretty easily in a long, long time. But not just me. Everybody's dealing with it. A little switch up on the segments tonight. We got our, believe it or not, it is halfway through the regular season. It is week 7. So usually you're playing week 14 is the last week of your regular season. And then your playoffs, 15, 16, and 17 with the addition of, week 18 a few years back. So what we're going to dig into in a little bit here is something we started last year where we talk about all the guys we were wrong about. So pretty easy to find a fantasy channel that'll talk about everything they did right and their victory laps and their dick swinging and, oh, I was the only buddy on this guy. And most of them are, fabrications or just embellishments, but we like to point out how bad we fucked up. And my list is very long. I would assume your guys' is pretty lengthy as well, but I'm sure mine is probably longer. Tough year for Matty Funk. So, that said, going to turn it over to Jerry. He's going to do a brief recap of last year, and Mike passed on the monkeypox to me, so excuse me if I'm a little raspy, just kind of getting over it. So, Jerry, throw it over to you.
Yeah, so week 6 recap, we're going to talk about some of the studs. We're going to leave the duds out this week because we don't want to talk about those guys that screwed us anyway. So QB studs, Tua, again, huge game, 3 touchdowns, put up 28 points. Looks fantastic. I mean, it's hard not to produce points in that offense. Goff, 27 points. He had a big day, 353 yards and 2 tuts. Dak had a pretty good game, 26 points. He had a passing touchdown and a long 40-yard rushing touchdown that's really helped boost his score. And Sam Howell had a 3-touchdown day, another good week for him. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra was number 1 on the week, 30 points, 12 for 20, 124 and a touchdown. He looks awesome, just as we expected. Here's the biggest surprise. I've been saying it week after week. Adam Thielen. Another huge game from the vet, 28 points, 11 catches, 115 yards, and 1 touchdown. He's now the wide receiver 4 on the year. Absolutely insane. Did not expect that, but we're big Thielen guys here, so we love to see it. Tyreek continues his wild year. He's 6 for 163 and a touchdown. He's already over 800 yards in the season. He's on an absolutely tremendous pace. Cooper Kupp, he's right back to form. 7 catches for 148 and a touchdown last week. Drake London, Baggy Sleeves, they also had some nice games. Over at running back, Mostert showed up in the absence of the other running backs being out. He was the running back 1 on the week, 34 points, including 2 touchdowns. Unfortunately, that was not enough to get me past my co-host this week, in which I still lost with him on my team. Travis Etienne continues to be a touchdown machine. 2 more after in back-to-back weeks, 2 touchdown games. Kyren Williams, really nice game, but now he's injured. He had 158 yards, 1 touchdown. Breece Hall is really getting hot, 20 points. A lot of those points came on the receiving end, too. He's looking good. Tight ends to round out last week. Kelce back to his number 1 spot with a 21-point game. Dalton Schultz, he's looking really good right now. He's on quite a run. 3 games in a row, he's got 13 points, 19 points, and 16 points. Can't really beat that at the tight end position. So if he's out there, I'd recommend picking him up. Kyle Pitts with a touchdown, 14 points, 4 for 43 and a touchdown. He's looked better in his past couple games. So it might be one to pay attention to there. And right across from him on the other side of the field, Jonnu Smith. The Falcons are really starting to use their tight ends now. They're starting to become a focal point. Jonnu had a nice 3-game stretch as well. He's got 15, 10, and 14 in the last 3 games. So another guy to pay attention to. I grabbed him due to bye weeks. So I'll be playing him this week. And Pitts is starting to build a little bit of consistency. We'll see how he does this week. But those were the big names for last week. I did okay. I went 2-2. I wanted to mention this wild Monday night win I had. I in Crook League, I was up not very much going against Herbert and Eckler. And I think I was up 26 points towards the end of the game. My opponent ended up going ahead of me by a point. Chargers get the ball back at the end of the fourth. Herbert throws a pick for -2, giving me the win by 0.4. Extremely lucky, keeping me at the top of the league. I'm not putting the points up, but finding a way to win games. So happy with it right now. Could be tough this week. A lot of buys. I've seen a ton of buys this week. It's the start of that, really. Multiple teams, so going to be fun. Going to be a tough week for me, personally.
And in that same league, who are you playing this week?
It's funny you ask that. It's our guest over here, Crazy Legs, who's number one in the league. 1-2, going to the battle this week. Should be interesting. I'm out with my two starting running backs. I'm down Burrow, so I'm dealing with bye issues, but I'm going to find a way to put something together.
That's what I like to hear. Chris, what do you think about this matchup?
Well, I was smirking a little bit right now. We're going to probably bring up this point at a later part of the segment, so don't want to show too many cards now. But I'm glad Jared's not immediately conceding defeat. Knows that he can put a team together. I mean, I was in a similar situation a couple of weeks ago where all my players were dead, and I ended up putting up the most points that I have all year and getting a victory. So this is where your moxie's tested.
Yeah, it's a satisfying week. And while you inched out your W, I inched out one against you on Monday night, Jerry. Very hard fought. I think that was, 3 or 4 points, or was it a little bit more than that?
I think you ended up winning by maybe 5 or something like that, but I'm not sure. It was close.
As always, the Cowboys disappoint, as they do with everything. So you count on the Cowboys, that's what's going to happen. So, all right, there's your recap. Sure. My big recap for this week is something we teased, I think, maybe 2 weeks ago, and they finally did it. The Chiefs went out and got their guy. Mecole Hardman is back on the Kansas City Chiefs. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. It's so funny that it actually happened because nobody really understands why. And I really liked your comment. It stuck with me, Jerry. You're like, yeah, I just need another guy to give an end around to because that's all he fucking does. So true. But I thought that
it's funny. He's only been on the Jets since, March? He's only made it a few months, and the Chiefs were like, we got to have you back, man.
It's like, maybe if I sign with the Jets, they'll just give me a lot of Jet sweeps. It's right in the name of the team. So we'll see how Kansas City utilizes the talents of Mecole. Obviously, he knows the system pretty well. He was there for the first 4 years of his career. And they need some playmakers. It seems like they have some guys. It's just not it's not really clicking right now. So big game for them this week. Who are they playing? I think the Chargers. I believe it's the Chargers. Winston, get out of here. All right. So, Jerry, let's talk about some of these injuries. Got a long list of injuries. I'm going to start off with Anthony Richardson. I heard today he's going to go for the surgery. He's done for the year. And RIP in peace to Anthony Richardson. Great start to the year. We all really liked what we saw, and we'll see how it picks up next year. So that's troubling, but I know we have I sent you a screenshot of a long list of guys that we have to talk about. Let me try to dig that up here. Here we go. So, Monty, rib injury, couple weeks it looks like. Now here's where you learn your lesson, Jerry. His first game back, you got to play him. You got to play him. Whenever Monty comes back, you got to play him.
Yes.
Calf.
36 points guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed. Calf, oblique and rib injury. Kyren Williams, Chris's heir apparent to Austin Eckler on the Kirkland brand shelves. He is out. And I also
less disrespectful of a comp now, right?
It's still a little disrespectful, but I'm warming up to it. I am warming up to it. He's getting an MRI. He was in a walking boot, I believe. And I saw Wani Wivas was just put on IR. And I got to ask, Jerry, why did nobody in Double League pick up Zach Evans? Because I didn't put any claims in.
I don't know. I had a claim in, but he wasn't first on my list. So
yeah.
I only had one move I could make because of buys. So I had claims in for him, and I couldn't believe no one snagged him, especially in that league. You need warm bodies a lot of the time.
Yeah, I didn't put any waiver claims in. Been under the weather, just haven't been paying attention to that too much, and just figured I'm going to take a week off. Most of my rosters weren't in dire need of anybody. But I woke up and I saw him there, and it was like late in the morning. I slept in until like 7:30 today, and he was sitting there, and I'm like, what am I missing? Did I, you know? And then I saw Rivers going IR, and they said Kyren's out for like at least 2 weeks, and they said he's hopefully going to be back by week 11. It's only week 7. That's like a month. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on or what's going to happen, but I gladly picked him up, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if maybe Kirkland Eckler is just a product of his environment, but
he definitely is.
Well, we know Cam Akers couldn't succeed there, so he's got that going for him. Damian Harris with a scary injury, left on a spine board, went to the hospital. He does have movement in his arms and legs, so, you know, prayers up to Damian Harris. I always kind of like Damian Harris. Not sure he's that great, but I was rooted for him. Debo, shoulder injury, maybe not as bad as they thought. Fields, dislocated right thumb, so that's his throwing hand. He's going to be out for a little bit at least. The backup there is Badgett. I can't remember his first name. I wanted to say Jake, but it's not. Yeah. It like starts with a, I don't know if it's Trey or... I can't remember.
It is...
Starts with a T.
Let's see. Oh, yes, it does. It's Tyson.
Tyson, that's right, yeah. So we talked about Anthony Richardson. Deshaun Watson, something weird going on with that. I don't quite know. Chris, what do you think is going on with this Watson?
It's some Ben Simmons stuff. That's what it feels like to me. Yeah,
that's fair.
Like, he's like, spooked. He want to get out there, like, has the yips, like, that whole fate. Like, he couldn't run without picking up a face mask. Like, that was yippy to me, you know? Like, not being able to shoot free throws. That's what it feels like to me.
I think the yips is the best way to put it there. And he's got to not feel good seeing Jerry's boy, P.J. Walker, go in and will their team to a victory over the best football team in the league. That's got to be a shot to the ego for Watson, you got to think. Credit to P.J. Walker, though. He's like a I don't know if I want to call him this. He's like a black Gardner Minshew almost. He's not the best football player, but he's a leader. And the guys really like playing for him. I like to watch him play. He's not that good. He plays like a skinny Josh Freeman, just like so slow to do everything. But he's a quick guy. It's very weird to watch. But I always like to see him win. Tannehill, pretty serious ankle injury. They said it won't need surgery. Even if you're talking about surgery with an ankle, that's nasty. So hopefully we get to see Malik Willis. And like I said, I don't even care if Willis sucks. I'm so sick of this Titans team. They're so boring. It's just going to be refreshing to get a new kind of scenery there in Nashville. And, you know, I'm excited.
What about Will Levis? Do you think there's any chance he plays?
Maybe later on. I think Willis will get the first shot. I don't care who it is. I'd like to see either one of them play.
Yeah.
And then the last one I have here is Garoppolo with a back injury. He might just be cooked. He seems to play well when he's on the field, but I don't know if he can stay on the field anymore. It's tough.
He's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't practice today either, so it's not looking good for him this week.
No. I don't know what's going on, so. Lot of injuries. I don't know. I probably missed some. Those were the big ones that I saw headlined, but we shall see. So, we're going to get into the featured segment for today. Our Fantasy Funkhouse Stock Exchange, but with the focus on guys we were wrong about. So I'm going to go and start it off, and I think we're going to go here by position. So we're going to start – actually, we're going to start at the back end or the tight end, and we're going to go with some TEs here, guys that I was certainly wrong on. Jerry, I know a few of these are going to be on your list. First one, Juwan Johnson. unbelievable disappointment.
Yeah,
he was my security tight end, where I could hopefully get him late. I know you grabbed him in front of me in a few leagues, but man, he's done nothing, and now he's hurt. And I was really high on him going into the year. Could not have been more wrong about Juwan Johnson. So that one really hurts.
Yeah, agreed. That one, I was so high on him. The way he ended the second half of last year,
yeah,
I thought he was going to jump into top five territory, possibly. And he's obviously not even startable.
Yeah. And then David Njoku for me. I know you could say Kyle Pitts. I wasn't very super high, and I wasn't super low on him like most people were. I was kind of in the middle, but it's still a disappointment. We'll see if that shapes up. But Njoku, man, could not have been more high on him. I think a lot of this is on Watson, too. You saw how Njoku came back from those burns, and those pictures are nasty, and kudos to him. I'm glad he's okay. And he came back and had a pretty decent game that last week after, so I don't know if it's a Watson thing, or, you know, we were very high, along with a lot of other, you know, people in the industry, about this Browns offense being, you know, kind of a beacon for some offensive playmakers in fantasy this year. And it just really hasn't worked out. No, Chubb got hurt. The whole Jerry Ford, Kareem Hunt debacle, Amari Cooper kind of disappearing sometimes. So none of them have been great. So, yeah, those are the big tight ends that I was really, I could not have been more wrong on. So, Jerry, what are some tight ends for you?
Yeah, Juwan Johnson was also a big one. I might have even been even higher on him than you were. I was really banking on him. I think I took him as my tight end, as a backup tight end in like 75% of my leagues this year. And he's obviously not on any of my teams now, but another one I was higher on was Greg Dulcich from the Broncos. Yeah. Obviously, that whole offense is really a mess. Sutton's probably the only one that's produced decently this year. He's been hurt, so he's missed some time, which he was hurt last year. So we're seeing that trend now. Maybe he's not a guy that stays healthy very often. And when he has been there, he hasn't done much. So big swing and a miss there by me.
Yeah, and Dulcich, I think he could, you know, have a decent back end of the year, because if they do end up trading Judy, you know, what do they got to play for? Or what do they got to lose, I guess? Put Dulcich out there. He's going to be the future tight end there. Might as well give him as much run as possible. And, you know, outside of Mims, nobody's really making plays besides Sutton. So I do think there's a real possibility they trade Judy and or Sutton. But the fewer of those guys there, the better off it's going to be for Greg down the stretch.
Agreed.
Chris, what do you got for tight ends?
Well, you know, you can't beat yourself up too much about missing on tight ends, you know, especially some of the guys you named, just because there's so much parity year to year. And this year, I think more than any other one, too. I mean, Kelsey's not even really separating himself that much, although he's clearly the tight end one. So, I mean, to answer your question, though, Dalton Kincaid, I took him super late, but I thought, you know, the Bills have been dying for a second receiving option, a consistent one, for so long. And Dawson Knox had that one good year out of nowhere, and just thinking, you know, Kincaid's, they at least viewed as someone that they're worthy of a first round pick. I guess I envisioned him maybe having more of a Laporta type year. But I think that would be the guy that I would have thought would have been a top 10 tight end, but isn't even close to it.
Yeah, it's fair. I love Kincaid long-term, like in 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. But some guy, Laporta's a freak in the sense of just getting his head around the game of football at the NFL level this early. Nobody else has done that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even close. It's so crazy. It's what we thought Kyle Pitts could do. But it's all about where you're at and your scenario, and that offense is, I don't know, it's strange why, I guess they just didn't want to pay Hockenson, because they were pretty easy to just ship him off, and you get a guy that comes in that plays a lot like Hockenson, and he's just crushing it right off the bat. So
it was a great trade. I mean, that it might have been the Hockenson pick, right? It was a second round pick. I don't know if it wasn't him, it was Brian Branch. Either way, I mean, everyone they drafted in the second round this year is a stud, so.
Yeah, but how do you know that that's going to happen? Like, you don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, as far as trading Hockenson away in hopes of getting someone else, how do you know that? You have no clue it's going to fall to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Then we'll go into wide receivers here. So this is where a lot of mine come in. I'll start off with Baggy. Not that I was super low on Baggy, because, you know, I love Baggy. I know you do too, Jerry. Chris, I know you're a big fan this year. He's crushing for you. But
can you tell the viewers about what happened live with the Baggy pick?
Yeah, I mean, we were deep into the throes of the Crook League draft and, you know, many beverages in and hours of yard games. And
it's round seven.
Round seven comes around in two quarterback league. And what is – Chris, why don't you take it from here?
Just not a friend of the show, Nasty Nate, after he took his draft pick – threw down the marker and just said, somebody fucking draft Keenan Allen. And then I took him two picks later, but very, very aggressive about it. And I think that was kind of the thought of everyone in the room too, you know, just knowing he's the guy to take, but talking yourself out of it. Even myself, if I would have known Keenan was going to be this good, I would have taken him four rounds earlier.
Right, right. Yeah, that's the thing.
I can't act like I'm a genius, you know, it just happened.
Crook League's weird as to
– I had
– go ahead, Jerry.
I had him on top of my list as well, because same thing. And specifically in that instance, I was just set. I'm not taking him. I know he's going to get hurt. I'm not even dealing with him. He's not even available. But he just kept sitting there round after round. You're like, okay. And I think that everyone kind of felt that. And that's why Nasty Nate let it out. So it's just someone fucking draft him. Because, and man, has it paid off for you. I mean, he's the wide receiver two on the year. So
I was going to say, he's got to be
It's unbelievable.
Three.
I still think health is a concern. Obviously, it always has been with him. Yeah. But, man, he looks unreal.
Even if he never played
it. We were wrong. We love Baggy. We were just low on him this year.
Yeah.
We absolutely love him. We're just.
Yeah. If you were fortunate enough to get him in the seventh round in a 2QB or whatever the equivalent of that is in a one, if he never played another snap, he's still worthy of that pick.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Some other receivers.
I was going to say my miss if we were up to me. I don't know. And it's less dramatic, but one guy I was convinced was going to be butt this year was Davante Adams. I mean, Garoppolo just never had produced a good fantasy wide receiver despite having some talent ever. Right. So it wasn't a knock on Devontae plus McDaniels. And I just I thought he was going to have a massive drop off, and he's been himself. Garoppolo just got hurt. We'll see what happens there. But that was one guy that I didn't take off my board, but I had really far down on my board.
Yeah, I think a lot of people,
that's a good one.
A lot of people were pretty down on him. And I remember me and Jerry doing our rankings, and we had him as like our wide receiver nine. And at the end of the show, we looked back and thought, just like, how disrespectful is this to put him in nine? But I still think at the time, like, that's an appropriate ranking, because we had guys like ARSB and Garrett Wilson ahead of him. And well, the sun god certainly worked out and Wilson didn't. You know, Adams has had some huge spike games, just like he always has. So I just think he's one of those guys that it doesn't matter who's under center, he's going to produce. That's a great one, though. Yeah. A couple other guys for me, some second-year guys that are just, I mean, they're droppable. There's no other way around it. It's Jahan Dotson and Sky Moore. Could not have been higher on both of these guys. Jerry, I know you were there with Dotson. Probably not so much with Sky.
I was with Sky, too.
Oh, were you with Sky? Okay. Couldn't easily droppable. Like, they probably shouldn't be on a roster. Chris, I know you had Sky in a league. So all
I
three of us.
Leagues. I forgot he was so bad. I forgot that I did it. Yeah. I dropped him this week to pick up Evans.
So if I would have started Sky Moore over Dotson this past week, I would have beat Nate in Judd's league. And Dotson had zero, and Sky Moore had four. So that'll tell you the caliber of players you have here. And if Jerry, if you remember, we talked about it last week. I said you're either going to get six or you're going to get four from Sky Moore. Well, I got the four, but I didn't start him. It's just who he is right now. I hope it changes, but
yeah.
I don't know. And then you already talked about him, but Thielen, like, holy hell, nobody saw this coming. Kudos if you grabbed him. You're making out like a bandit. I think this is going to stick around all year, personally. I don't think he's going anywhere.
You know how dumb I am. I thought DJ Chark was going to be the guy in Carolina.
Makes more sense, really.
I like that Mingo, the rookie that they have there, but he obviously needs time to develop. I just think the rookie quarterback needs that savvy veteran. And that's exactly what he's doing. I don't think Thielen's going anywhere. I think he's a top probably 15 option the rest of the year. He looks great. What a renaissance year for him. Big Thielen guys here in the Funkhouse.
Love it. The fact that, I mean, now I think Bryce is like, that's his gut hits his security blanket. So yeah. Anytime he's going to him, we know Thielen's out there still running good routes. He's got great hands. Yeah. I was lucky enough in Dub League. He's single-handedly keeping my terrible team afloat. He got me a win this week and I got him off waivers a couple weeks ago. Glock had dropped him, I think after week one or week two. Because he had like a dud game to start the year, and I snagged him just because I needed somebody, and wow, has that paid off.
Yeah, I think you got him the week that I cashed in on Quentin Johnston. What a fucking nightmare. What a nightmare. It's just a bad year of...
Quentin Johnston would be putting up zeros if he got points for targets.
Oh my God. So bad. Chris, who else did you have for receivers? Anybody?
Well... So Scott was going to be one that I brought the two leagues I care most about, and like was certain he'd have some type of role in that offense, and just does not at all. A lot of the other guys are people that I ended up just out of luck not necessarily getting. I was really high on Devontae Smith. Depending on where you drafted him, he's been a bit of a letdown. I mean, the season's still young. He's still on an elite team and he's an elite talent, but had he been there in certain opportunities, I certainly would have overdrafted him as well.
Yeah.
I have a couple here too. I had Sky Moore and Dotson on there as well. I had them both as gold mines. I used that list a lot for this to go back and see guys. We had some bold predictions on. Those obviously both failed. DJ Moore is a guy I've been hating on for years. He's the – what is he right now? He's up there. He's the wide receiver 8 on the season. Now, obviously, that's that 50-point game he had, but he's still been pretty consistent this year, much better than I expected. He's a top-10 wide receiver right now, so I was way off on that. Jordan Addison, I had him as a gold mine preseason, and it's really not panned out so far. Even this week, he did get a touchdown, but not get the targets I expected. With AJ out, there's a lot of season left, but Sophie has not panned out. Another guy that has been Mr. Consistent through the years that has kind of fallen off a bit this year, Tyler Lockett. I've always been a huge Lockett guy. I've always felt he was underappreciated, but this has been his worst season yet. Outside of a big week two, he's left managers wanting more, that's for sure. The Seahawks passing game in general has been pretty rough this year.
It's very weird this year. What's DK been doing? I know you have him.
He's been okay, but he's outside the top 25, so that's not what he should be producing.
K9 dominating. So I don't know if they're just kind of changing over into a run first team as Pete Carroll usually likes to have. So that very well could be the case. But man, with the personnel they have there, you should be letting Geno throw it 30, 35, 40 times a game. Going into running backs here, lengthy list for me. Start off with my gold mine, Jerry's landmine, Damian Pierce. A couple of times that he's ticking up and the offense is looking good and the offense has looked good. I just don't know why. I don't know. It seems like he kind of looks good and it's just not putting it together at all numerically on the stat sheet. So I'm very disappointed at that. Everybody's been having him as a buy low candidate the past few weeks. I don't know if I could even say that. He's a warm body at starting running back, but he's a hard start, a flex at best at this point. Ramondre, he had a nice game this past week, but what a disappointment he's been. I had him as a top 10 back, I think like 7 or 8. He's been nowhere close. It's just gross, that whole offense, and nothing else to say about Ramondre. Swift, I don't know really anybody that was that high on Swift, to be honest with you. You were high on Swift. Now, you're not saying that just because you're a Philly fan.
I got a dong for that pick in Crook League. I didn't think he was going to take over the backfield.
Yeah.
Week two, right? But I did see him as being someone who was so much more talented than as much as I love, well, I love Boston Scott and Gainwell, like, just so much better.
He's very talented, but he's disappointed us so many times in the past, and on a pretty good team in the Lions, offensively anyway, the past couple years. And the health. I don't know how he's staying healthy. That's what his MO is every year. That's just the big thing. So we never thought that, you know, I think, Jerry, me and you had him both as our RB8 or 9 last year, going into last year, and he was, you know, dreadful. He didn't play most of the year because he got hurt. So that's what soured me on him. The situation's great and the talent's great, but I still think it's like baggy. Like, yeah, he's great now until he gets hurt in 2 weeks. Because I do think it's going to happen at some point. There's no way around it. I'll be astounded if he can play 17 games this year.
Yeah, there's something to be said, though, I think, about it's hard to take yourself out of it. But you made a good point about last year, how DeAndre went so high. Like, he was a second-round pick in so many leagues. And so you have that recency bias of how burned he was relative to draft stock. And then, okay, so he should fall. And then, for example, in Brooklyn, he was in the 8th round. Like, that's – even looking in hindsight, it's like, all right, 2nd to 8th, that seems like the appropriate calculation for being let down. But when someone's so high and then plays so bad like him, or produces so bad like last year, they fall off draft boards instead of maybe, like, get calibrated appropriately.
For sure.
Yeah, I got Miles in Jared's league last year in, like, the 7th or 8th round, and he was, like, a top 15 guy. But as we see now, it's just because he was on the Eagles. So, Jerry, I'll throw it over to you, running back. I have a feeling Miles Sanders is probably on that list, so that's a nice segue.
Yeah, see, Swift was on it. You've already named a few of them. Swift was on it. Ramondre was on it. I did like Miles a little bit more this year than most. I thought, you know, he would be the bell cow there, really get a chance. He can't stay healthy. So he's been a major disappointment. Chuba Hubbard looks much better than him out there. So hopefully they just roll with him. But the big name for me was the big controversial pick, my landmine of Bijan Robinson. I did not buy into the hype like everyone else. He's currently the running back 8. So the hype was true. I just personally didn't feel for the draft capital where he was going, he was going to be worth it. But right now he's playing really well. So I'll eat that. I'll step on that landmine as deserved. So, but his catching ability is unbelievable, and his moves, man. Have you seen the replay of, like, his first touchdown in slow motion? It's someone made some clip of it. It's unbelievable. Him juking out, like, 3 defenders. It's like Barry Sanders-esque. It's pretty.
He cuts so quickly. It's so wild to see him out there doing that. It is kind of like Barry Sanders-esque. I'm not putting that on him already, but that's a good comparison just of how. Just his cuts are so sharp. It's wild.
He reminds me of LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. LT is a good, it's good company to keep, for sure.
These kids today don't even know about LT.
Man, I was just thinking that because I was just watching LT highlights, just doom scrolling on Instagram the other day. And my God, did we have it good when he was in the league. So fun to watch. He's definitely won me a ship way back in the day when a single running back could do that, you know. It's not like that anymore, but man, those were fun days. That was early fantasy for me, very, very early.
The standard scoring days.
Oh yeah. Yep. Chris, you have any more running backs?
Yeah, so these are all kind of like lumped together, but the one guy I thought would have been a league winner, and time will tell, but I'm scared now, is Jahmyr Gibbs, for sure. I thought and to be fair, even though Montgomery was sniping a bunch of all the touchdowns when they were both playing, Gibbs' floor was still pretty high. He did have the pass catching efficiency, but that hammy really gets me nervous. And then the two guys who were around the same ADP, who I personally thought there was a big drop off there, which I was also wrong about, are Kenneth Walker and Etienne. For some stupid reason, I was so scared of Charbonnet and Tank Bigsby, but like was not scared of David Montgomery, even though he got paid and we saw the Jamal Williams role before. Didn't make any sense, right. My logic, but that was my thought process.
Well, Chris, you're not going to find bigger K9 fans than right here in the Funk House. I'll tell you that right now. And even we didn't see this kind of backfield domination coming into this year. So he's just looked – he's so good. He's just so much better than what everybody thought. And I'm really glad that they're giving him the reins and letting him do his thing because he looks incredible out there. And I said it last year, maybe not this time, but further through last year. I'll probably say it again. This keeps up. He's a first-round pick for me next year. K9's the man. I'd love him at the back end of the first next year. So
it's, I really hope somehow he drops down the rankings again. This all out a bit. We were very surprised at how far he had dropped down. We had our nerves about him, but it was pretty unbelievable how far he dropped down when Charbonnet got drafted.
Yeah.
And he's proved why he is the man. K9 is a stud.
Yeah, I scooped him in a couple leagues. I'm lucky to have him there. I wish I had him in more, but that's a great one. And ETN, I have him as my RB1 in one league and kind of lucked into that. Very happy to get him. I took him over guys like Najee, Derrick Henry, guys that were, you know, kind of questionably right there. So I'm happy I made that decision. But I'm not as high on him as I should have been, obviously, with this tear that he's been on. So I think most people are probably a little lower on ETN than they should have been, Chris. Except Crook. He loves ETN more than anybody that I know.
It's
no doubt.
He's big.
All right. Going into quarterbacks then to finish this out, just going to throw him out quick. Burrow. We'll see if that rounds into form. He's looking better. Pass catchers are getting healthy. Crossing my fingers. We'll see. But certainly wrong about him coming into the year with the health. But Trevor Lawrence, and I know he's battling a knee this week, Jerry, but we all have, you know, some Trevor Lawrence to talk about here. Chris, you just made a trade to send him over for Josh Palmer. Most people in the league were not very pleased about it. You made a deal with the devil. You owned up to it. You tried to get out in front of it right away and defend it, so I respect that. Yeah. Two players that I thought would have mattered more. Josh Palmer's just not really going to give you much. I think we know who he is. But it doesn't look like Lawrence is either, so I can't really fault you as much as I'd like to for the trade. I just hope that whatever happens with Judd, it doesn't work out because we don't want him to win.
And just for the viewers, so it doesn't kill my credibility, that's a one QB league. Super,
yes, I was gonna say that.
Super,
yes.
You're starting like 10 position players.
And you have Herbert.
Yeah, and I have Herbert.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah. It was your QB2 for a wide receiver. Not a bad trade, but giving a startable quarterback to a guy that had lost one and has won the league many times.
Yeah.
But I have Lawrence in my league, and he's been extremely disappointed. I had him as, you know, right around the top five quarterback. I expected big things.
Yep.
It is not translated, and you already mentioned the other one, Burrow. Those were my top two guys. I drafted Burrow in multiple leagues. I also got trade offers from that same person for Burrow, and I rejected those trade offers as fast as I could just to send a message.
Three more guys that I had here at quarterback that I thought would be better. Deshaun Watson, we talked about the weird shit going on with him, but he just doesn't look good on the field. I thought after last year in a full offseason he would. He doesn't. I don't know what's going on. I'd like to say I think he's done, but he's still pretty young, so I don't know. Maybe he just thinks like, man, I just made $250 million, fully guaranteed. Why would I need to play football anymore? Like, it seems like he doesn't really have fun playing, so maybe he's thinking like, I don't know if I'm down for this anymore. I already got my money. We'll see. I'd hate to put that on a guy, you know, that has just a sparkling track record off the field as a guy like Deshaun Watson, but you never know. He is just not in it right now. He just doesn't seem to care, and I don't know. And then Geno, he's been disappointing.
What happened to a better guy?
Yeah, exactly. Geno's been disappointing. We talked about that Seahawks passing game. I don't quite know what to think about it. I think they're just going to run the ball as much as they can now. They got the linemen to do it once they get, you know, everybody healthy again. And then Danny Dimes, man, I've been on record. I think me and Wagner are the only people that have ever publicly stated that we're Danny Dimes fans. And God, is he bad this year. I feel like I've had him as my QB3 and Crook like three out of the last 4 years. and didn't get him this year. I know. I think you got him, Jerry. He just looks so bad.
Unfortunately.
And then this neck thing, and luckily I don't have any Danny Dimes shares this year, but he looks just so bad. And they have no playmakers besides Saquon. Waller's cooked. All of these 13 slot receivers are cooked. I think Wandale has a little bit of juice, but Danny Dimes, very disappointing. Very disappointing. Who did I miss from you guys?
The one, this is a good example of the point I made earlier with Swift, is Russell Wilson. And I mean, he still sucks and is nerdy, but he's putting up in fantasy right now. And, you know, he went super high last year and really burned people. And I didn't even have him, but just like watching that as a third party, he was pretty much just like off my list. And I took Derek Carr over him, which is so dumb.
Yeah, Russell's the QB8 on the season right now. So the team is bad, but he's still putting up decent numbers.
Yeah,
so.
He's the Blake Bortles.
Right.
All right. So that is going to wrap up the stock exchange this week. And, you know, we always like to tell you guys how bad we fuck up our rankings because we own up to it. You know, we want to be real about it, and that's what we have fun doing. And I always like having that segment. We'll do another one towards the end of the year because probably some of these people we shit on will turn around and be league winners and then vice versa. So we'll see how that goes. All right. Going to jump in now to the fantasy the Smash Picks. So Smash Picks of the Week brought to you by Burger Daddy Food Truck and Drip Coffee House. Chris, did you hear about Drip Coffee House? Wagner's new
establishment. I have heard about Drip Coffee House.
So next time you're around the area, maybe around the holidays, stop on in. We got a real nice little setup in there. And if you're going to have a coffee, just drinking on the toilet, you're going to need to get something out of you immediately. So shout out to Drip Coffee. We love what you guys are doing over there. All right, so we'll get into the smashes. So last week, not very good. Who did we have on the pod last week? It was Al. So Chris, I don't know if you listened to Al's episode last week. A great one. He started off with Stafford, 15 points. Certainly not a smash. Really needed a big game for Stafford, and it didn't happen. Diggs, I know Gelf's a big Diggs guy. 20 points, as he does every week. Guys locked and loaded. ETN with 23. Nice little smash there. So 2 out of 4 for Alex, and, you know, ended up with Andrews right around 11-ish points, depending on your scoring. Not a great outing for Andrews. He's been pretty disappointing as the second, you know, tight end off the board. And, you know, I stacked him with Lamar and Crook League, and he's been very, very disappointing for me. My smash is Burrow with 18 points. Certainly not a smash. Chris Kirk for the Jags, 13 points. Did get into the end zone. Can't give you a smash for 13. Josh Jacobs, 11 points at running back. Not going to get it done. And then Hawkinson with another 11. 0 for 4. Terrible week for me. Jerry, how'd you do?
Smashes have been tough this year, man. It seems like we're a week off a lot. At QB, I had Stafford as well. He was QB 15 on the week. He wasn't terrible, but it wasn't a top 10 smash. Running back, I had Tony Pollard. He was running back 11 on the week. He did have 17 points. Most of that came from receiving. He had 15 rushes for 30 yards. His rushings looked horrible this year, and 2 yards per carry ain't going to do it. But he had 6 for 80 receiving, so it made up for his day. Addison, I had at wide receiver, was hoping for a huge target spike. That did not happen. He did get a touchdown, but just 3 for 28 on the day. And then at tight end, I had Logan Thomas chasing the points of the week before. And is right. He went 3 for 28. It was not a good game for him. Oh, it wasn't even 3 for 28. Sorry, I was looking at Addison there. He only had a couple points.
Yeah, tough week for smashes.
So maybe I get Tony Pollard with the 17 point, but other than that.
Yeah. I think that's fair. It was a light week. We'll give you that one. So I know this week they're going to be locked and loaded 4 for 4 around the table.
Yeah.
And we will see
easy
how this ends up. So smashes this week, Chris. I'm going to throw the volley to you, and I want you to start us off with quarterback.
So quarterback this week, probably someone you're only going to be starting in two QB leagues, but I like Sam Howell in his matchup against the Giants. Giants have been – they are what they are. And Howell's had some, like, blow-up games this year. There's a lot of tough matchups from some of the elite QBs this year, but I can see that as being a nice two-touchdown, 300 yards, or even a three-touchdown performance.
Yeah, I like Howell. I got to start him this week with Dak on bye. I like to start him most weeks over Dak anyway in my super flex, so love hearing that. Quarterback for me, I'm going to dig into the NFC South here, and I'm going to go with my guy, Baker Mayfield against the Falcons. And Evans looked pretty healthy last week, better than I thought he would. Godwin got a little chippy last week, so I think that they're due for a nice little game, and I think Baker can get it done with, I mean, it's just south of 300 and probably two scores. And I think that gets me a smash for the week. Jerry?
So we've talked a little bit of smack on this guy today. He's been struggling, but I'm going to take Geno Smith. He hasn't had a smash outside of week two. I did not like what I seen out of him last week, but I just feel like they're due. They're due for a solid outing. They play Arizona this week, who has surprised all of us, I think, but I think they can have a big game. I think he gets two touchdowns and has a lot of yards.
Yeah, I have to play him in Sankey over Kirk, because Kirk is playing San Francisco on Monday night without Justin Jefferson. What a disaster that would be. So can't do it. Got to start Geno there. We'll go over to running back here. Chris, who do you got at running back?
So I think this is a potential monster matchup, and it's Josh Jacobs. Raiders are playing Chicago this week. Chicago's got a bad defense. But what I think really sets him in a position to potentially just go nuts is that both these teams are going to be without their starting quarterbacks. So I don't imagine either is going to be airing it out too much. I imagine it's going to be a grinded out game where Jacobs is going to be relevant on every possession. And I could just see this being a 30-plus touch game for him.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. And I'm hoping it's the game script you're talking about here, because I'm going to stay in the same game. And assuming he's healthy, Roschon Johnson. I'm going to fire him up as my smash, assuming that he's back off his concussion. Khalil Herbert on IR. And safe to say, Tristan Ebner and Deontay Foreman did not get it done last week in their stead. So I like Roschon this week, and I'm pretty excited about his matchup against Vegas. Jerry?
I love that, because I'll be starting that against our guest this week. I'm going to go with the guy that's been hot in the end zone lately, ETN. He's had back-to-back two-touchdown games. Lawrence is banged up, and so I think they're going to lean on him even more Thursday against the Saints, and I think he keeps his hot streak alive, gets in the end zone at least once.
I hope so. Tough run defense for Saints. That scares me, but ETN's been hot. I like it. And I'm going to have to start Roschon as well, so that might be our mascot for the week. Love that. Chris, wide receiver.
There's a lot of guys from this matchup who are smash worthy, but I'm saying Jalen Waddle. For those of you who don't know, Philadelphia is down 8 defensive backs. and otherwise, even with full strength, could not have kept up with the speed of him and Tyreek Hill. It's a cheat to say Tyreek Hill's a smash, so I'm throwing Waddle in there. A lot of guys on that game from both sides of the balls that are smash-worthy.
Yeah, I hope that's a high-scoring game. It's going to be fun. Chris asked if we were going to be allowed to talk during the Philly-Miami game this week. I said maybe not. Still not sure. We'll see how it goes, but looking forward to it. And they've been making it a concerted effort to get Waddle the ball the past few weeks, and I like that. So, I think it's a great call there. I'm going to go Gabe Davis against New England. They're going to be focusing on Diggs. They have no other DBs, kind of like Philly. Christian Gonzalez is out. They did sign J.C. Jackson. We know he's not an NFL caliber player at this point.
It's a liability.
Yeah, and I think Gabe Davis is going to score for sure, because I feel like he scores every week. It's just a matter of, does he have 2 catches for 16 yards and a score, or does he have 5 for 65 in a score. So I think the latter this week against New England, I think they might want to run the score up on a division rival after they almost embarrassed themselves against the Giants, and they probably should have lost that game. But I think Gabe Davis gets loose here against Double B in the Pats. Jerry?
I'm going to take I'm going to do a stack here with my QB smash of Geno. I'm going to take DK. He's due for a big game. We've been talking about how they haven't performed. He's coming off a 10-target performance. He did not turn that 10-target performance into a big game, but that's because a lot of it was not catchable. But I think they play the Cardinals, so I think he can get 100 and a touchdown.
Very nice. And, Jerry, I guess once you start us off at tight end, I've been going a little bit out of order tonight. I didn't realize till now, but start us off at tight end.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm going to dig a little deeper here. I'm going to go Luke Musgrave. The Packers play Denver this week. Need I say more? I mean, I could probably just end the argument there. But he's coming off a bye, and he had his highest target game prior to that, in which he caught 6 of 7 targets, which is pretty good at that position. He's seeming to be kind of become the security blanket for Love. So I like him to get some checkdowns this week and find one in the end zone against that soft, soft Denver D.
You know, I've been fooling around with Musgrave for a few weeks and getting him in my lineup, getting him out of my lineup, getting into my lineup. And I knew it was going to pop at some point. I do think this could be the week. So I love that. I am going to go with another rookie tight end. Man, this tight end class could prove to be a real big deal, you know, a handful of years down the road. But guy who's really popped off lately, and I'm going to stick in the same game as our running backs, Chris. I'm going to go Michael Meyer, depending on, you know, how far into October are we. And tight end for the Raiders here against the Bears. And he's been dominating some targets lately, especially when you don't have you have a backup quarterback in there, big tight end. I don't care if he's a rookie or not. It's just a safety valve, security blanket, whatever you want to call him, big guy over the middle. And he's been looking pretty sharp. So I like him to get in the end zone and somewhere around 15 fantasy points for a tight end. Chris, finish us up.
Thanks. So I'm going to go on the other side of the ball for that, or not the other side of the field for that Dolphins-Eagles game. And I think Goddard's due for a game here. They're going to have to be keeping up with the Dolphins. If the Dolphins are smart, they'd realize that A.J. Brown's really been the only passing weapon for the Eagles and target him, leaving that second option. I think Swift could be a good in for a big game too for the same reason, but just liked Jacobs' potential and touches a lot more with that matchup we discussed earlier.
Yeah, I almost went Goddard myself, so I'm with you on that. And we talked about injuries, but some good news on the injury front. Jalen Ramsey is practicing 3 months after tearing his meniscus. Love to see it. His 21-day window started today for him to get activated, so that's really exciting. Hope he takes all the time that he needs, obviously. Definitely not going to play this week, but that's very, very exciting as a Miami fan. We need all the help we can get on the back end there. So, all right, that'll round out the smashes. 4 for 4 across the board, as always. Love to see it. And jump into the last segment here, the fan favorite. Soap! Soap. Who's getting up on their soapbox first? Jerry, I know our guest has some juicy things to say, so I'm going to hold on to him for now, and I'm going to give you the keys to the podium, and let's hear what you have to say.
Okay, so this one, there's nothing, it's not against the rules. There's really nothing wrong with it, but it just irks me. People getting up at 3 a.m. and picking up players right after waivers clear drives me mad.
Yeah.
I don't know why it does, but it's drove me mad for years. It's always happened in Dub League.
Yep.
So it happened today. I look, our fearless living room leader, waivers cleared at 3:27. He picks up a player at 3:40, 13 minutes later. So I text him. I'm like, I gotta know. Do you set an alarm for like 3 a.m. and get up and check that waivers cleared? Like, I have to know. Is that what you're doing? He gave me some long-winded story about all this stuff. He's, oh, I'm sleeping here, and then I start the coffee. I'm like, okay, well, that's even crazier.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a psychopath about fantasy. I check my phone probably a million times a day, looking at it, checking news constantly. But I'm never setting my alarm in the middle of the night to go pick up a waiver guy. Have it set the night before. I don't know why it bothers me, but it does.
You know who else does that? Sigler. Nasty Nate does it all the time. Especially when you have
did it this morning too.
Yeah, when you have a league that you're not.
He picked up a guy at 4.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. 3:40. Mike's 13 minutes late there. I'm surprised Nate wasn't there. 3:28. You know, ready to smash the button. But I think that happens a lot more in leagues where you don't have fab, to where you have a rolling waiver thing, so that they don't want to use their waiver priority. So they're hoping a guy passes, and then as soon as the waiver's clear, they don't have to use their waiver claim, which. It's a savvy move. You know, I'm not going to lie. I used to do it. I don't do it anymore just because, you know, I it's not that I don't care as much anymore. It's just I like playing in the fab leagues. And if I really want a guy, I'll either put a claim in for him or I'll put a dollar on him just to, you know, avoid that. But you're right. It's dumb. And it's, I don't know, something about it. I wish this stuff cleared at like 9:30 a.m.
You're right. It's.
Yeah,
it's I get it. You get up and you look and you can see who's been claims have been put on. And there's that little window of time where you can see these guys aren't unavailable, but get a life.
And I can assure you, nobody's ever won a league because of a guy they picked up at 3:28 a.m. just to save their waiver. If they're going to be that impactful, you're going to put the claim in on them. Or you're going to do something, you know, so that there's no you didn't win the league by any means. But, hey, keep doing it.
You ended up getting Evans 5 hours later.
Yeah, so totally did. Yeah.
They whipped on the guy that was still there.
Mikey had to turn the coffee pot on. I was having Zach Evans for brunch. So that'll show you how waivers go. All right, I'm going to take the keys here. I'm going to jump up on the box. And, you know, this is going to be first I want to say fuck COVID because, you know, I'm just ending my third bout with COVID here. And, man, it's not like it was that bad. Like, it sucked for, like, 2 days, 3 days or whatever. But I just hate being cooped up in the house for this long. I feel like a fucking wild dog just, like, needing to get out. Like, I got to fucking get out of this house. It sucks so bad. I hate it. And when you tell people at work you have COVID, they're like, oh, great. And it's either you're going to come in and get them sick or this fucking guy's sitting at home not doing a thing, you know, working from home. It's like that guilt trip of working at home. You're like, oh, my God. You can't win when you have COVID. You can't. You're either guilty about working from home or people think you're coming back too early to get sick. So I just told him, I was like, listen, tell me when to come back. I don't care. You want me to come back early? You want me to come back late? You want me to come back next week? I don't care. Just tell me when and stop with the bullshit. So we'll see what happens when I get back. But I know a kid got COVID allegedly, like 2 months ago, and he was out for the whole week, and his boss kept telling everybody, yeah, I think it was a pregnancy test, not a COVID test. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, the kid's sick, and people are giving him shit for it. So I hate that whole aspect about it, and it makes you out to be guilty just for trying to be honest. But my soapbox today, I guess, you know, 1B to my 1A of COVID, is on a positive note. Now, both of you guys are Juniata proud. I know that. That's going to be the theme of the show. Juniata Elementary. Now, was there anything better? This time of year, it is spooky season. When you got like a test back and you got an A and you got like a fucking pumpkin sticker or like some bats or like some kind of sweet Halloween sticker on your test, is there anything better than that? Nothing. There's never
felt
like
more rewarding.
No, there's never been a better reward for doing well in your studies than like a seasonally themed sticker at the top of your test. I don't care if you're in second grade. I don't care if you're a junior in high school. Like, I want the sticker and I feel like I've earned it. And why can't we have that in real life? Why don't we have that in, you know, at work? Why can't I get something like that on, you know, my yearly review? You know, those are coming up right now. I just finished my review, waiting on my boss to go through it. I want, like, you know, if it doesn't process till December.
These gold stars.
Yeah, I want, like, a Christmas tree or, like a stocking or something. I want a little sticker in, you know, you want to make a scratch and sniff, a little cinnamon, holiday flavored, whatever, scented. But that is the ultimate reward that there ever could have been in Juniata Elementary in Du Bois, PA. was the king of sticker giving out, I think. So I don't know about you guys, but I miss that. And sucker for nostalgia. I want the book it pin, and I want sticker on my spelling test. Man. And I get excited to wear shorts when it first gets warm in the spring. That was elementary school for me. All right. And I also want one of those on my fantasy team when I do good every week. I would like a sticker, you know, via Yahoo or whatever. But stickers are a hell of a reward, and I think we've gotten away from that as a society, and I think it's really sad. So, Chris.
That's great. You could have, like, they could make it, have, like, a sticker collection. You collect them.
That'd be sick, yeah. Man. It'd be so great. Love it. All right, Chris, floor is yours.
So, mine's a lot darker than yours. And are your viewers, and Jared's looked guilty this whole time. He knows what's coming. He's looked so guilty since we turned this on. I think this is all a ploy to inception me to bring this up for this segment. But are your viewers well versed in the reverse jinx?
They know this. They're very well versed.
Well, there's nothing worse than I want to make this narrative a little bit like yours, a little walk through your lane. When you know you wake up, it's a work day. You're having a hard day. You know, you're thinking about the people you love, the people you grow up with, and maybe like some of these people you haven't spoken to in weeks, maybe months. And then your phone gets an alert and you're like, oh boy, this Jared's messaging me. I can't wait. This is great. What a nice surprise. What a nice surprise in my shitty day. And you open that message and you just get pecker slapped with the hardest reverse jinx you could even imagine. And I'll read this direct quote. Good game this week. I have no chance. And then another comment bubble right below it. A shame we won't get to have a serious battle. No hi. No how you doing. I felt so cheap. Felt so taken advantage of. And that was my day. First thing in the morning. Just.
There's no getting away from that.
I wish the viewers could see his face right now. No foreplay, no nothing. Just straight into it. No lube. Immediate reverse jinx.
The best part about this is that you were texting Jared, Nate, and me all at the same time, and we were all talking to each other as well. And we were sending screenshots of our conversations with you to the group chat because you were getting so fired up, and you had three different conversations going on.
I wasn't fired up. I was hurt.
It was so funny because you told me that, and you told Nate, I can't even talk about trades right now. I'm so fucking mad at Jared.
That's what Nate told me.
So fucking, so funny. RJs, you know, they're real. If you say you don't believe in them, you're probably lying. And, you know, people do them because they work. And there's no getting around it. And, yeah, they're bad etiquette, but I've fought it for years, Chris, and there's nothing you could do. I said there's one counter to the RJ, and it's not reading the text or answering the phone when you get it. And usually I have to do it against Billy. He's, like, notorious. I don't even know if Billy knew fantasy football happened last week because I played him in two leagues, and I don't think he set either lineup at all, Crook League or League of Legends, but how Billy is that? But, hey, yeah. You know, you got to work through them, and, you know, it's the new normal, Chris, as they say. It's the new normal.
You know, you just think someone who has a fantasy football podcast is above all that.
The only defense is to have never seen the RJ at all.
Yeah. It's the only way to counter.
Once you've seen it, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you get some and it's
that
like.
That was just a little teaser. Look, we're both at the top of the league. This is the premier matchup this week. And I'm in a really bad position.
I
woke up to that. listen. When I woke up
to
that day.
No, I have to turn this off now. It's the only defense.
See, you get it.
What I've seen on my lineup, not pretty. But like I said earlier in the show, I will find a way, and I'm building that team as we speak. I will give you a matchup, and it won't be a shame. It will be a good battle.
Chris, I will say you're not the only one he's already done this with, and I just fire him right back because what else is there to do? What else is there to do? You just got to keep it going, and we are who we are. That's all I got to say. Kesha said it best. We are who we are. So, with that said, we'll jump off the soapbox. Crazy Legs, really appreciate you coming in. Always a favorite. Oh, actually, I almost forgot. We had a couple emails sneak right through the cracks here. Some questions for you, Crazy Legs. So, you know, all the fans like, you know, when you come on, and they had a few emails that they wanted to ask you questions of. One, we got one from Little Leonard. He wanted to ask, do you still think Gardner Minshew is better than Derek Carr?
No.
Okay.
No. I do think Minshew has the potential to have a higher ceiling game, but it's averaged out below Derek Carr.
I'm a Minshew guy, so you're preaching to the choir. He's not a fantasy guy, but, man, he could probably get you some wins. I would think he's probably the best, if not an easy top three backup quarterback in the league, in my opinion. And I think that he could be a starter. He should be a starter somewhere. There's probably three or four starters that he's better. He's better than Zach Wilson. He's better than Pickett. He's better than probably whoever plays for the Bears. Fields had a few spike games, but I'd probably take Minshew over him. He's better than Ritter. He's better than Daniel Jones right now.
He's better than Dobbs. Dobbs is playing good.
Yeah.
He's better than Dobbs.
Yeah, he's better than Dobbs. You know, there's plenty. So,
he's better than Mac Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, he's certainly better than Mac Jones. That's right. And the last question was from longtime listener of the show, one of our biggest fans here, Wendell Cavalier. Wendell wanted to know, should the brotherly shove be outlawed? And when it is outlawed, how many yards should it be a penalty for? 5, 10, 15, or a game misconduct?
So, one, it shouldn't be. I mean, I can add this to a lot of commentators have been talking about. These other teams try to do it. It doesn't work. You know, so it's not truly like a universal cheat code. And to the second question, which I disagree to the predicate question, it should be a game misconduct.
So
however you phrased it.
I think that it should be illegal because the only person that can do it right is Jalen Hurts. And that's not fair. If everybody could do it, then... yeah, I think it should be legal. So I agree with you that that's the case.
No one can run as fast as Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, but...
should he have to slow down to the second fastest person?
Yeah, but this play was it was outlawed before. Running a nine route has never been illegal. So don't... let's compare apples to apples here, Chris.
Yeah, throwing the ball forward used to be illegal too. So outlaw Mahomes doing that.
Well, okay. Nobody will win this argument, but what do you think of the name of the brotherly shove?
I mean, I like it a lot better than the tush push, especially since like the whole things they're trying to own it. I like that rebranding effort.
I kind of hate it, but if I was a Philly fan, I would like it. But I hate that it's allowed because Hurts is too automatic, and he's the only one that could do it because he squats 9,000 pounds. And you're not going to see any other. You see Stroud did it, and he got up, and it was like, well, that fucking sucked. You know, it's just what happens when anybody else does it. So, we'll see. I'm sure Alan could do it, but, you know, maybe that's it. All right. Well, that'll conclude the Funkhouse for week 7. And for Crazy Legs, Mr. Chains, I am Maddie Funk. We will see you in week 8, and good luck, everybody.